Good morning, Rabbi Weisler. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making the time to be here this morning. We're going to be learning on a very fascinating topic in our series. To make sure, I want to start off by wishing everybody a Gemar v'chassima tov, really a year of an idea about Ruchnias v'gashmias, God willing. I want to start off by thanking Ricky and Dr. David Adler, who are sponsoring the shiur in loving memory of Ricky's father, Harav Meir Ben Elkanah Halevi Olav Hashalom, Rabbi Meir Holder, whose yahrzeit will be this evening. It should be Leilei Nishmaso. He should continue to go Lamala Lamala for all the actions of his children and grandchildren and great grandchildren. Also to thank the Tigers who are sponsoring today's shir, Leilei Nishmas Pesha Bas Shraga Feivel, Mrs. Pauline Klempner, Judy Tigers' mother, whose yahrzeit is by Bayom is today. It should be Aliyas Neshama, Shisha continued Nachas, Shmei Shemayim. And thank you for making the shir a part of that experience. I want to start off actually just, I thought it would be appropriate, seeing as it's being sponsored, Leilei Nishmas, Rabbi Holder, I thought maybe I'd quote a story from Chassidic, Treasury of Chassidic Tales, which was, in fact, the translation was facilitated via Rabbi Holder. So I figured we'd start off on with a story from the Sefer. And the story goes as follows. The story goes that there is a Hasidish Rav who is visiting a particular town, and he meets a young man there who's going through a difficult time. He actually happens to be the grandson of Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden was a great Rav, and his grandson was going through a very difficult time. His name was Meir. And it hadn't been so easy for him, and it was Rav Yishol of Ruzhin, and he speaks to him and he says why don't you just you know snap out of it, change your life? He says, I can't. He says, I've gone too deep, too far, too quick. And so the Ruzhin says to him, he says I'm going to tell you can still do teshuva, and I'll give you a proof from the world of Lamdus, from the world of you're a fine Talmud Chacham. Let me explain to you how this works. He says, you know that when the Gemara says, when it talks about an ox, we're learning Baba Kama in the mornings here in the shul, after Shachris, the Gemara talks about different kinds of bulls, oxes that have behavior patterns which are negative. And there's an ox which can be roivets, which means to say, how do you translate the word roivets? What was that?
Plus.
No, more than that. It crouches, right? It crouches. So let's say, I have a bull. It's walking through the Shusarabim, and it goes down, and you have your wares laid out on a beautiful blanket which you're selling, and it's roivets aleihem, right? So that's the end of your sale for today, right? So that's considered one of the possibilities of the damages that an ox can do, whether it's intentional, whether it's kedarkoi, what kind of damages it is. The Gemara talks about animal as a Rav Tzan. What does a Rav Tzan mean? Rav Tzan doesn't just mean to say that, you know, it happens to be, it was walking through the marketplace, saw your wares and crouched down. It means to say that everywhere it sees anything, it always crouches down. It's got a little bit of a habit. It's got a little bit of a vice, this ox. That's what's called a Rav Tzan. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we say to Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Salchon and Machlon Neshiftei Yishurun. Hashem is not a Soleach, not a Moichel, but a Salchon and a Machlon, which means, in the same language, he's not just a person, a being who does this once. He is consistently, perpetually doing this twice. So he says there's always an opportunity of coming back. There's always an opportunity despite the amount of times and the distance that we have made for ourselves. Anyways, just to start off on the right note, that is from the translation of Rabbi Holder this morning. Let's go a little further. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore a topic today which is very, very much all-encompassing, a very fascinating topic, and it has numerous ramifications in our practical day-to-day lives. Here's how it goes. We learned this mission a few years ago together, but just bear with me for a moment and try to help me understand what's happening and what is not happening in this Mishnah. It's the last Mishnah in Maseches Yoma. The Mishnah tells us at the very end, Mishnah and a test in Perek Ches, Ha'omer echtev ashuv, echtev ashuv, ein masbikim b'yodai la'asos teshuva. You say, you know what? It's February time, I'll sin a bit. You know, Yom Kippur's a few months away. I can work it out. Comes Yom Kippur, I'll take a look at the accounting. I'll make sure everything's all right by the time I get there. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Teshuva only works if you didn't intend to do it in the first place. Then the Mishnah says, Same thing, if a person relies on Yom Kippur, relies on Shuvah while they're doing the Avera, it does not work for them. Avera Sheben Adam Lamakom, Yom Kippurim Mechaper, Avera Sheben Adam Lachavera, Ein Yom Kippurim Mechaper, Ad Shiratze Es Chaverai. So when it comes to sins that are related to me and Hashem, then yes, Yom Kippur with Shuvah works, but when it comes to Averas which I did, where I hurt, I maimed other people around me, whether it be verbally, emotionally, physically, financially, I have to speak to them, I have to deal with them before I get to Shuvah. Fine. That's what the Mishnah tells us. We understand that. That makes sense. There's a third party involved here. Right? So it's not just that I, chas v'shalom, my Shabbos needed fixing. It wasn't just that my Shmita wasn't to the greatest level. I wasn't, my shatnez wasn't checked so well. Right? That's me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? But now when it comes to the Lashon Hara, it comes to the way I financially dealt with somebody, the deals I reneged on, whatever it is, there's somebody else who's suffering, so I have to speak to that person because I impacted somebody. The Mishnah goes on to say, Ezudarosh Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had the following drasha. Mikol chatoy seichem, lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of Hashem you will be purified. Averu shebenonon lamakom yom kippurim mechaper, averu shebenonon lachavera, yom kippurim mechaper, ad shiratze es chavera. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you need to be meratze your friend. What's the word meratze? Just to clarify, VM? To appease, to speak to. So Yom Kippur only works for the averos that you've already appeased your friend for. Let me ask you a question. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying? What is he saying? What is he adding here? Let me just quickly get a chumash.
Even the Ben Adam Lamakka will not be forgiven unless he also seeks forgiveness for the Ben Adam Lachavero.
So one second. So you're saying that we need to... Again, what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying is averos shalom lachavera enam kippurim mechaper ad shiratzes chaverai. He's telling us that you have to do tshuva for the sins which affect other people socially, and Yom Kippur doesn't atone for that. But that's exactly what the Tanakhama has just said, meaning it's he is really essentially word for word almost repeated what the first opinion has said, and that is that Yom Kippur does not. What? Oh, so he says Shiratze, right. So a person needs to... No, the Tanakhama also says Shiratze is Chavera. The only thing he seems to be adding is... He's adding a Pasuk, right? So that might mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is really saying... Is he saying the same thing, but he's now sourcing it in a Pasuk. So maybe he's giving us the source text for this idea, this rule. Is that might be the option? But if that's the case, then all Rabbi Elazar needed to do would be to say... Kamoshikosu Shenemar... Meaning to say, if he's sourcing the rule, then when it comes to, let's talk in directions, right? We'll call it vertical and horizontal. When it comes to vertical sins, that Yom Kippur works for horizontal sins, it doesn't work until I fix it with the person I've hurt on that plane. Then he needs to just say, K'moy shekosov, lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of Hashem you should purify yourselves. Why does he have to repeat the rule? Strange, right? So he's like saying the same thing. And by the way, also I'll quote a pastor. Can you just pause in Chumash if that's all right? Just over there, the one in my shtender is missing. Thank you so much. Thank you, Yana. So I want to take a look. The reason the answer is because we need to actually look at the full pasuk actually that is being quoted over here. This is thank you so much. This is a pasuk in Vayikra Tes Zion. I apologize for not putting this actually on the source sheet. It's actually part of understanding it. Tes Zion Lamed. So there is a very fascinating commentary on this Mishnah, and it's called the Rif. Now, not to be confused with Rav Yitzchak Al-Fasi, from Fez in Morocco, who met around the turn of the millennia, in the 1100s, 10 to 1100s. We're not talking about that Rif, who was one of the greatest poskim of all time. This is actually, I believe, Rabbi Yeshaya Pinto, who has a pirush in the Ein Yaakov. So he's commenting on the Agaros, and it's a good acronym to have, let's be honest, right? There happens to be another Rif as well, who also has a commentary on Tanakh, and he puts his commentary, he added it into the Abarbanel. So in some printings of the Abarbanel, you'll see the commentary of the Rif. Now, if you want to get your works read, it is a very good idea to put them as footnotes to somebody else. Right? So there's another Rif over there as well. Nonetheless, it seems to be a common acronym. So here's how it goes. He says, if you look carefully in the Pasuk itself, the Pasuk says the following. Kiba Yomazeh, on this day, we say this every Yom Kippur, so I want to make sure we get it right. Yechaper Aleichem Natayre Eschem Mikol Chato Zeichem. Hashem will atone for you. From all your sins, lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of Hashem, you will be purified. So you'll notice that the pasuk itself talks about purification before Hashem twice. On today, Hashem will be mechaper aleichem letaher eschem, to purify you. Then mikol chatozeichem lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of Hashem, you'll be purified. So maybe, suggests the riff over here, maybe what's happening is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not saying the same thing. He is telling us that in order to come in front of Hashem and receive tahara or purification or kapara in front of Hashem, then we also need to make sure we sort out the calculations when it comes to Lifnei Hashem Titaru, the other people that we've affected or impacted. So let's just understand what his rule means. That means that all the we'll call my cheshbon, my accountings, when it comes to my vertical cheshbon, cannot be attended to yet until I've sorted out my horizontal cheshbon. So if there's still outstanding debts, so to speak, when it comes to how I treated my neighbors, my spouse, my friends, my business partners, and I have not sorted that out by the time I come to Yom Kippur, it's not just that those issues remain open on the books. Rather, everything, even the other aspects of my life which don't impact other people, also. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is not saying the same thing at all. The first one is saying there's two independent portfolios. One you can sort on Yom Kippur, the other one you need to speak to people for. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, no, based on this pasuk, there's two stages of Tahara and they're interdependent. That's a shocking idea. That's a terrifying idea. So therefore, he says, he goes on further. What does Rabbi Akiva say then? What does Rabbi Akiva say if we can't finish the Mishnah then? Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechim Yisrael, Lifnei Miyayatem Metayarim, Umi Metayar Eschem Avichem Sheba Shamayim. Rabbi Akiva says, who purifies you and in front of who do you gain purity? In front of your Father in heaven. What is Rabbi Akiva really saying? Rabbi Akiva is really explaining. You remember that pasuk that had the word Tahara, you're getting purification from Hashem, in front of Hashem, twice? And you explain that the reason why it's repeated is because the one is dependent on the other? No! The end of the pasuk is talking about something else. It's saying that you, in front of Hashem, you will always receive Tahara. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva is disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The two can be broken away from each other. Sort out your cheshbon ben on lachavera. Sort out your cheshbon ben on lamakom. Ben on lamakom is not dependent on ben on lachavera. That's the way he reads this mission. Now, that's a bit of a scary idea. If we were passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's a terrifying thought because, I mean, how many times do we have outstanding things? There's things we don't even remember we did to other people, which people could have been holding as a debt against us. Does that mean everything is in the balance? So it turns out that's not the way we're passing at all. If we take a look over here in the second source, in the second source, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidon on the Shulchan Aruch says the following on page 2. He says, "Achiv Aisenu v'yesh misha kosav." He quotes somebody who suggests, "Im loyshav me'averos shebeino levachaveroi, gam averos shebeino elamakom eino mischaper." V'asmechu amas nisin. There is someone who says, we've just seen that someone who says that your ben adon lamakom, your relationship to Hashem is waiting on your relationship to your friends, and they depended on this Mishnah. This is not a fitting way of looking at things. This is not how it works. Sure, that portfolio remains open until it's fixed when it comes to my social portfolio, but when it comes to my original portfolio, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that still can go through even without the other one being fixed. Okay. That's what the Birkei Yosef says. But, nonetheless, this being the case, it is fascinating to notice that such a possibility can even be suggested. Meaning, when we come to Yom Kippur, the notion that there's such gravitas when it relates to our social sphere, that is so powerful that even there can even be a suggestion. I'd like to explore that theme a little bit today. The theme of the idea of fixing the social realm being so important and integral to Yom Kippur, even if it may not be something which sinks the rest of it, but how significant and important it is. So I'd like to go through just a few ideas of where we see this. So yeah, as an example, just a few ideas here. Rav Dessler is talking in Michtam Eliyahu, he's talking about this, the idea of yeshiva. He's talking about the idea of being together. And he says that, you know, he talks about how sometimes we think to ourselves, we come to shul, we come to yeshiva, we come to gatherings, and we feel ourselves as sort of like one in a many. I'm one person, I'm working on myself, there are lots of one people together. He says that's not how it works at all. He says at the bottom of the page 2, in the second paragraph, he says, "Kol echad ve'echad," that's the abbreviation, "should be yeshiva hu chelek miklal shalem." Every person is part of a much bigger machine. "V'lo shayach she'tiyeh eloi rotzon nifrad." Therefore, one's ratzon, one's will and aspirations shouldn't be independent. Meaning, not that we shouldn't have free thought, but the idea is that we should be subsuming ourselves in bigger ratzon. "Elo mispatel hu lagamri el toeles haklal." to a certain degree, a person is part of the greater good of that entity, v'achrayhu alav, and therefore is also responsible for that greater good. Im kocha nabit al atzmeinu, halo nizdaher, b'harbei ma'od, shalo lahazik l'rabim, b'kalus shebiyachid. Then if we have such an attitude, we'll be more careful when it comes to, you know, making damages to the general community, because we'll be more careful, because we're part of that, right? So, you know, in a plain, simple example, we're not going to, you know, put our gum on the floor. You know, we're not going to kick the benches. Because why? Because we sense that I'm part of that, right? Because I'm part of that rotzon. Nifla harbe ha-davar ma'oid ve'emesu. This is really true. He says, and therefore, from now, Navin es goydel erech avasil yeshiva. He goes on to say, I want to actually skip this paragraph to the last thing. He says, how does it relate to now? He says, havan nivne es el ha'elol al yosod hazeh. Let's try to get to this elol. He's obviously speaking to his young men in yeshiva. Let's try to build our elol on this. We are vikol echad me'itanu liyom adin ha'ma'abal inu l'toiva es zechusoy lifnei Hashem yisparach asher zechus binyan chizuk kol yeshiva klula boy wazen yizkeh b'din be'ezras Hashem yisparach. He says, maybe if we come to our Yom Kippur, our Rosh Hashanah, with this attitude of being subsumed in a bigger picture, maybe we'll be more likely to get through this Yom Kippur. Zeu biru ma she'omar Adoni avi zekeini ha'gon. I think this is Rav Soloveitchik, the grandfather. Ki eitz the gedoyle l'Rosh Hashanah, hi liyiskalel besoich ha'klal, shiyeh ha'klal tzorich loy v'yizkeh b'zchus ha'klal. So he says, segula, to succeed on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, he's speaking about Rosh Hashanah, is to make oneself indispensable to the community. Meaning to say, do something. Offer to contribute something that you're doing for the community, which you're indispensable to a certain degree. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the file, he says, wait a second, right? This person is interdependent. This person is necessary socially for this community. Therefore, the person comes with a lot more backing. That's what Rav Dessler suggests. One example. Find something, one thing that a person can do to be more involved in the klal as opposed to the yachid, one's own personal portfolio. Another example, we're about to say this coming Tuesday evening. We're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch at the end of Kol Nidre, Anu Matzirim Nispalel Im Ha'avar Yonim. It's a very fascinating clause. We're allowing ourselves, so to speak, to daven with the Avar Yonim. What does an Avar Yon mean? People who are not perfect, people who are perpetual transgressors. Where does that come from? What's the better grounds for that? So fascinating enough, there's a Rabbeinu Bechaye on Shmois who's talking about the Ketores. This is a very famous idea, but this is where it's sourced. You have to prepare all these different spices for the Ketores. Rabbeinu Bechaye says in source 5, on this pasuk, Valevona Rechara, it happens to be one of them smells really terribly bad. That's the Levona, the frankincense. We cannot say, wait a second, you know, you don't smell spiritually nice, you don't smell socially nice, you don't smell emotionally nice, you don't fit in here. When we come into a fast day, if we don't have people who are less than perfect, then it's not really considered nagud, it's not considered really a gathering, if we don't have everybody there. And that's by the reason why, says the Baruch Ben Mechaya, when it comes to Yom Kippur, we say, everybody's welcome. It's not just the pristine and the perfect, and those people who think that they've made it this year. It's everybody who's together, because that's how it works. So he has another example of where you have, and he goes on to say, that's of course Sukkos and the famous idea about the Arava. It came from somewhere. This is where it comes from. It's from Ben Mechaya, right? So this is where it all starts from. He says that in order for it to be an Aguda, for it to be a real community, it needs to be everybody. That doesn't mean to say that you need a volunteer to be that person. But, nonetheless, we need to make sure that, and I think that all of us have parts of ourselves which are part of that Aguda as well, which can form that. Another example. On Motzei Yom Kippur, there's Avdalah. He has a fascinating halacha. On Motzei Shabbos, we do Avdalah. The question is that we have a few brachas. We say, we talk about the wine and the besamim and the eish. So, what happens if you don't have eish, right? What happens if you don't have fire? What's the halacha? So there's a dispute in the Shulchan Aruch over there in Siman Reish Tzadiches. You said the bracha im yeshlo ve'ein sorich lach sor acharov. So there's the Shulchan Aruch says you don't need to run after it. If you don't have eish, if you don't have the opportunity of putting together the fire, you can't light two matches even for a second. You don't have to run around crazy right now to do it. And this relates to a very fascinating dispute. It relates to dispute as to whether or not Borei Morei HaEsh is a Birkas HaMitzvah or Birkas HaShevach. Which is, it's meaning to say, is it a bracha that I'm doing because of a mitzvah, or is this a bracha which is because I'm responding to a wondrous thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created fire and allowed humanity to discover fire on Motzei Shabbos, and therefore I'm relating to that phenomenon? If it's a mitzvah, there would be more of a reason to run after it. If it would be Birkas HaShevach, there'd be less reason to run after fire on Motzei Shabbos. This also relates to, I'm sure you've seen, that some people put their hands or their nails out to look at the fire beforehand, and some people put it afterwards, and some people do both. The reason is because the Birkas HaShevach is always responding to something. It's afterwards, like we respond to lightning after it happens. And the Birkas HaMitzvah is always beforehand, like we say a bracha, before we blow the shofar, before we shake the lulav. So is the activity before or afterwards depends on this exact discussion. So the question is like this: what about Motzei Yom Kippur? The Shulchan Aruch says, on a Motzei Yom Kippur, Yesh Amrim Shemachzir Acharav, you should run after, which indicates that it's a Birkas HaMitzvah on Motzei Yom Kippur. And therefore, in the Sefer Imre Yitzhak, he suggests, in the second paragraph, in Siman Yud Beis, on page 4, he says, Ulam, Lamadi Issa B'Shulchan Aruch, Hanir Al-Ea, Deba Motzei Yom Kippur, En Tzrichim La'Chazar Acharav, Lefi Zeh, Nimtzal Deba Birkas Ha'ur, Ba Motzei Yom Kippurim, Lekuliyamu Yochol Lohoitzi Acherim, Af Shekfar Birech. So he says, there's a halachic nafkamin over here. There's a halach, what's called Yotza Moitzi. What's Yotza Moitzi? Let's say you make Kiddush for somebody. And you make Kiddush, and you're already Yotze Kiddush, and you come home, and there's somebody there who hasn't heard Kiddush yet. Can you make Kiddush again? Answer is, of course you can, because Yotze, even though I've already fulfilled the mitzvah, Moitze, Kimi Moitze Acheri, because I have a responsibility, I call Yisrael Arabim Zebozeh, I have a responsibility towards every person who hasn't heard, and therefore I can say Kiddush again. That's how it works on Shabbos. But that only works for Birkas HaMitzvah, because that's considered something which is necessary. So says the Imre Yitzhak, on Yom Kippur, it is definite that the Motzei Shabbos, the Motzei Yom Kippur, Havdalah, that fire is a Birkas HaMitzvah, Yotza Moitzi. If you already did it, you can do it again and again and again, as long as there's people who haven't heard it. Why? Because there's a din of arvus. There's a din of responsibility when it comes to this. It's not the same as Motzei Shabbos, where there's a question about it. Another example of, an aspect of, where my responsibility is lacking when somebody else is not accounted for, even on the Motzei Yom Kippur, as an example. Another case, in Source 7, there's a very fascinating, this is in the Sefer Imre Shefer, it talks about Rav Elchanan Wasserman would always decline receiving an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah. You never would want to. Now, it's funny, because sometimes that's the opposite problem that we may have. But, why did he do this? He says, because, he quotes the pasuk, B'soich ami anochi yashaves. I stay among my people. I sit among my people. He doesn't want to stand out. He doesn't want to, so to speak, interject himself as an individual when he really wants to be sort of sunken into the crowd. So I'd like to explore this theme. Just to recap for a second some of the things we've looked at. We looked at how there's this notion that the Beron L'Chavera aspects of Yom Kippur may be so powerful that it may, even according to the Rif, be something which interrupts our Beron L'Makom. We don't pass in that way, but that's how far it goes. We saw a few things. We saw that Rav Dessler says that one of the Zchuyos that come into Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah is to find something we do for the community which makes us indispensable to the community. Rav, we saw as well the idea that the Rabbeinu Bachai talks about the frankincense, that we daven all together, everybody together. We saw the Imre Yitzhak who says on Motzei Yom Kippur, there is a responsibility towards other people even regarding the ner, the or of Motzei Yom Kippur. And finally, how Rabbi Elchanan would be reticent to receive an aliyah, to stand out even in receiving an aliyah on Yom Kippur. So now, how does this work? What is the logic of this of these ideas? What is the theme? How does this really work? So one way of looking at it is going back to that pasuk that Rabbi Elchanan quoted. He quotes the pasuk on a v'soich ami anachi yashavis. What's the story over here? What's the background? Do you know what he's quoting? So he's quoting a very fascinating story which occurs in Sefer Melachim, Melachim Beis Perek Dalet, in which Elisha is the prophet, and he, like Eliyahu, his teacher, would go from city to city, to location to location, to be able to teach, to inspire, to give nevuah, to rebuke. And when he came to the area of Shunem, you know, he didn't really have so much of a place to stay, and this woman who was called the Isha Shunamis, so she doesn't have a name per se in Tanakh, very fascinating why it's veiled. And she decides she's going to make for him his own room. She's going to make a guest room, which is, by the way, not a cheap thing to do, certainly not in those days. She makes him his own room where he's able to stay when he comes there. So after she does this for him, really, altruistically, he comes to her and he sends his helper, his foreman, Gehazi, and he says to her, and he says the following. And so this is on the top of page 5, doesn't have a number for some reason. You've gone to all this trouble, right? Obviously, that's a play on words from the word cheder. You've gone to all this trouble here. You've made this room for us. And he says, can we put in a good word for you? Is there anything you need help with? Is there, you know, there's a permit, a building permit that's not going through. You're not able to put up a wall in the back of the property if it's not white. Well, what would you like to, what would you like us to help with? Right, so what does she respond? She says, they're the words. She says, I stand among my people. The Zohar HaKadosh says that this day was Rosh Hashanah. This day was Rosh Hashanah. So here he is. He's asking her anything she wants. What does she really, really want? She really wants a child. She's childless. She really wants a child. She is not willing to say it. Gehazi realizes this. Afterwards, he tells Elisha that she's childless and he prays for her. And ultimately, she doesn't have the child. That's the child who dies and Elisha resuscitates. So that's the Torah that we read during the year. However, the Zohar HaKadosh says, why wouldn't she respond? Just tell him. Tell him to his face. The answer is, it's Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar HaKadosh Shavis is the klal, is that we stay among our people when it comes to that. Why? How does that work? So Sefer Moadim by Agada says a very fascinating rule, and he says the following. What's the depth of this reason? The way that you measure a person is about your, so to speak, your situation. Are you an individual or your community? Quoting a pasuk in Mishrei, a very fascinating pasuk. Let's translate this word by word. Letava means desire, niyavakesh, desires or seeks, nifrad, separation. If I want to always follow what I want, I will always be alone. That's the way it works. If I'm willing to always satiate what I need, my needs right now, it is impossible that it will parallel to what everybody else needs because I have my own needs. So the more I'm going to be seeking my needs, the more I'm going to be separate from everybody else. That's how it works. Therefore, he says, "I'm Rabbeinu Yonah Dahaino." Adam shekol mahusai hi rak la'atzmoi. A person who's very self-sufficient, a person who spends a lot of time seeking the needs for number one. Vaday shenech shavu liyachid gamim u'nimtza b'soich tzibur. Such a person, even though they're among a community, will be considered an individual because really at stake is really just their own embattlement. K'moshu kosu chazal shiyodei yamaniyos nechshavim ki yechidim. Fascinating proof about how people go to see are considered individuals. Why is that? Because every person is praying that they should come out alive. So they turn into individuals, even though they're among people. Only a person who's willing to say at certain points, you know, I really want that, but I'm not going to ask for that now. I'm going to be able to not express that personal need now because there is a greater need. And, you know, the air conditioning is too hot, too cold, too low. Okay. You know, the davening wasn't exactly as I expected. Okay. You know, not everybody sang. Everybody did sing. Whatever it is. My needs. I'm going to put a damp on them. I'm not going to be fully, fully engaged in what I want. She says, I don't have my personal requests right now. Right now, I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about us. My I is a we. That's essentially what it is. Do we need a child right now? No. And therefore she doesn't say what she needs. That's how she was. Even though this is her ticket. This is the prophet. But she doesn't do that because that's what she wants to do. So therefore, we are safer when we go to bat when we're on the team. We're safer when we go to bat when you're on the team. But how are we part of the team? We're only part of the team if we're willing to start talking the language of the team. And the team may not need what we need right now. That's what seems to be happening over here. That's the logic and language. In fact, there's a beautiful story, which is quoted over here, by Rabbi Yisrael Salanta. I mentioned this to my wife the other day, and she said, yes, it's in one of the children's books. But there's a wrinkle in the story which did not make it to my children's books. So I'd like to share that with you. The story is, it's called Nidre Night. You can imagine Tuesday night. And they're about trying to start, and Rosh Hashanah Salant is not in his seat. The Rav of the Rosh Hashiva is not in the seat. Can you imagine this? You know, we all said, it was 6:20. We know, Rabbi. Right? Where is the Rabbi? Right? And they have no choice. It's getting dark. They need to do it. People are the men are the talesim, are they, right? So they start the Kol Nidre. Comes Maariv, still no Rabbi, right? They're getting a little concerned, but they continue. They have to. Towards the end of davening, they're in the slichos already. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter runs in. His coat's looking disheveled. His beard's all over the show. There's a few feathers in his hair, and he goes and he gets up to the bimah. And first thing he just starts is davening. By the way, this is a good point to say that maybe sometimes the rabbi's late. There's something going on. Maybe there's something going on. Anyways, nonetheless, he gets up and he starts davening. And they wait for him at the end, and a few people who have enough, you know, gumption to ask, they say, Shiva, what was going on? And he said, I was on my way to Shul to Kol Nidre, and I was walking past a house, and I heard through the window there was a baby crying. So I went into the house, and I found there was a baby in the crib. The bottle was next to the crib. The baby was crying without stopping. And what had happened was that the mother had gone to Shul. She wanted to be there for Kol Nidre. She left the six-year-old to look after the baby, but the six-year-old had fallen asleep. So the baby's in the crib, crying and crying and crying. And so what I did was I took the bottle and I nursed the baby and I put the baby to sleep and I was able to put the baby to sleep and lie with it a little bit and then I ran to shul. So most people say, wow, that's an incredible story. Like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, look what a human being he is. He is so willing to care even about a baby. So the wrinkle of the story is the following. Take a look at the bottom of source 10. On page 6, he says, Regilin Havias Asipur Amufur Samazeh, Naharos Midoisov Amiuchadois Shal Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Wow, so people quote the story. What an incredible human being Israel was. Because they're choshevod, he says, no question, that's important. What really the story is teaching us is that Israel knew that he couldn't really come into Kol Nidre if the baby wasn't in a place of calm as well. Meaning, when we come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not just about the people in the room. It's about those who couldn't make it to the room, who also need to be cared for by the time we get there. Meaning, how far does our sense of we consciousness expand? He understood it even affected the baby he heard crying on the way to shul. That's how far it went. That's how much, we'll call it, the expansion of self is going to happen in order to be able to be successful. This is one aspect of the logic. There's another aspect of logic. Perhaps this is what we call shared responsibility. The Gemara tells us in Yuma, in Source 11, very interesting Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Meir would say, Gedoyla teshuva, teshuva is such an incredibly large and powerful concept. Shebishvil yachid she'asa teshuva moichlin lekol ha'olam kulay. If one person does teshuva, then the whole world is atoned. Shenemar, I quote the pasuk, Echol Moshu Asam. Now I'm going to return you, give you respite. Now it's interesting over here about this statement. I mean, like, if that's true, then all we should do is every year we should just appoint one person, right? Like the better person in the community, they'll do tshuva, and we'll all go to the beach, right? Is that how it works? Like, what is the Gemara talking about over here? Clearly, there must be more to this. So the Sfas Emes suggests, and by the way, it's important to realize, the Sfas Emes doesn't just have a commentary on the Chumash. He has a commentary on the Gemara. Because the Sfas Emes talked about everything. The Sfas Emes was a very, very, very huge person, the Gera Rebbe. And here's what he says, a very interesting suggestion. He quotes on, actually, just to say the idea outside, he says the following. Let's say that I'm doing something which is not right. There's something in my life which is not being corrected. So it's true that the main person is culpable for that activity is me, because I'm doing or not doing, whatever it is, if it's inaction, whatever it is that's happening in my life, I bear responsibility. However, there is also a defrayed responsibility which is borne by everybody else around me. So if I'm doing something and everybody else just carries on walking, like on the New York subway, no matter what's going on, you know, we just carry on walking, right? We don't want to get too involved by that person doing a headstand or that person dressed up like that. We just do our own thing, right? I'm minding my own business. So if I mind my own business and there's another Jew who's going through something difficult, then in a certain sense I also bear, we'll call it, an overflow responsibility for that individual. So therefore, says the Gemara, when a person does teshuva, the whole world gets kapara. What does that mean? The responsibility they bore for that person. Because they all bear responsibility for that individual. When something bad is happening, it's not that we're in our, you know, we're not on our own boats when we're drilling holes. Everybody's boat is going down together, right? So there's this shared responsibility of the Arvus. That's in fact, if we go back to the Rabbeinu Bachaya, we did not get to the end of the Rabbeinu Bachaya. Let's just flip back for a moment to his logic. He says in, this was in the source 5, we stopped actually 7 lines in, but by the period it says, Ubei ur ze. What is the logic of this? Ki shem shamayim misaleh. Why is it that we've davened with everybody, even people who are less than perfect? He says, Ubei ur ze. Ki shem shamayim misaleh miskadesh v'shosh ha'rashayim chazrim b'tshuva. There's a certain element of kiddush Hashem which happens when people do teshuva, those who are less perfect. V'nimnim b'chlal ha'tzadikim, shim loiken ha'tzadikim, nitpasim aleihem ibnei ha'arvus. The tzadikim aren't such tzadikim if the rishayim aren't doing their teshuva. Because why are the tzadikim coming to shul if the rishayim aren't there doing their teshuva? And by the way, everybody's on a part of a spectrum, I guess, very grey. Right? I mean to say, nobody is perfect if somebody's not perfect. That's the way it works. We bear that communal responsibility. So therefore, another logic over here, not so much to speak that we're hiding within the klal, but that I have a responsibility to that klal, and should I not do it, there's something which is deficient about me. And it's so against the logic of today's society. In today's society, live and let live. They want to do something, it's all right, just let them do it. The idea of coming over and knocking on somebody's door and saying, I couldn't help but notice, would you like help? Is there something I can do? Or even not knocking on the door, putting it on the doorstep. Whatever it is, just to give that extra chizuk to somebody else. And sometimes it also means to saying, I don't think what you're doing is correct, even though it's going to mean that the other person is going to get upset with us to a certain degree. But being able to say it in a loving way. If one isn't able to do that, then in a certain sense, one walks around with their responsibility to a certain degree as well. I learned this lesson in the hard way in fourth grade. I remember that there was a particular student who definitely was not me, who did something terrible to the substitute teacher. Right, and the entire class got suspended. I had nothing to do with it. And they said, "Sorry, this is the way it works." And that's the way it works with Hashem as well. Is that if you're watching and you're actually anticipating, you also bear responsibility for those kind of things as well. There's another aspect of this. There's two other perspectives that I just conclude with this, and that is the Vilna Gaon says a beautiful quote, a pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, in the earliest. One of the earliest midrashim we have extant, which is in on page 7, doesn't have a source number, but the Bira Gra, in the middle, the third line of the Gra, he says the following. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, he says, Ra, Sam Shalei Motzah Chet B'Yisrael B'Yom HaKippurim. The angel of the Kitrug of prosecution sees there is no sin among Israel. V'Omar Ribono Elamim, Yesh Lecho Amechad K'malachi Hasharis. You have this nation who acts like angels. Ma Malachi Hasharis Yechefe Regel, Af Yisrael Yechefe Regel B'Yom HaKippurim. How are we like angels? We're not wearing shoes, so to speak. Meaning to say, the shoes we're wearing are less than perfect. They're like angels who are, so to speak, barefoot. Ma malachei asharis ein lahem kefitzim, kach Yisrael omed al ragleim b'yom ha-kippurim. So in a certain sense, we're standing together, we're standing like angels stand. Ma malachei asharis ein b'hem achil v'shtia af Yisrael v'kein b'yom ha-kippurim. We're not eating, we're not consuming of this physical world the same way as angels. Meaning to say, we're in all these ways, we're looking at angels. Now the kicker. Ma malachei asharis simas shalom b'neihem af Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim kein. Angels aren't arguing. You know, Gabriel's not trying to rush to do Raphael's job. That's not how it's working. They all each have their own distinct positions, and they're all working in unison. So therefore, it says the malach of Kitrug, look at B'nai Yisrael, they're all acting in unison. So part of being, part of the not eating, part of the standing, part of the way we dress, part of everything we do on Yom Kippur is also part of the way we act is like angels as well. That's what goes further. Meaning another level of this is that we are actually elevating ourselves to a loftier plane. On loftier planes, there's unison. Every piece has its place. Every entity has its moment. And that's how we work on Yom Kippur as well. Not because of the first idea. The idea of subsuming ourselves in a greater cloud, all the joint responsibility, but because we're like Malachi and finally lost, I think perhaps this is the most powerful of ideas. This is Sichos Musar, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He actually wrote this idea with the back of the Sichos Musar. It is written during the Yom Kippur War. And he's talking about what we should do, how we should respond in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim to the Yom Kippur War. Very fascinating insights he has. And he says the following, this is such a powerful idea. He says, Uva oifen ech acher ksas amarnu, we describe Hashem that Hashem is this rock who is perfect, His actions are perfect. All his ways are mishpat. Kelim in Ovel, he is a faithful God, and there's no misgivings or misdeeds. He says, "Agam de mishpatei bnei adam gam kein tzrichim boze." He says, I'm going to offer my own suggestion. Let's say you're a person who's in court. So the court looks at the person and says, what do you do? How many times did you do it? Did you know? And they try to work out, is the person responsible, is the person culpable or not? We deal with this person as it is. That's not true when it comes to Hashem's judgment. Let's say, that there's a person who's going to have to undergo a difficulty this year. But that difficulty, of course, is not seen in a vacuum. It's going to impact the family, the spouse, the children, the parents. Everybody's going to be bearing a heavier burden this year because of what they are getting, which they did deserve. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but wait a second, now I need to check the cheshbon of every other person in their periphery, every other person in their sphere of influence. Because if I'm going to put this person through suffering, and the other person, their spouse, their child, their parent, doesn't deserve the suffering or the burden of that, that I can't do it to them because it's interconnected. That's what it means, Hashem's actions are pure. That Hashem's actions are always mishpat, are always just to everybody involved in the equation, not just the person who's directly in the center of the sphere. Nimtza, he says, there's two reasons why we daven. Rashi, the first reason is kipshuta sheyichov b'dinei tefila. While ze amr b'gemara kol she'ef shalom levakish rach me'achaver ve'enam levakish nikra chayte. A person needs to daven. You need to daven for your friends. You need to make sure that other people we know are being done for. However, the second one is hashenihu shemechuyev litzayir al chaveru she'ef shas shebetzayir ahe matzil es chaveroi. V'ada mechuyev la'asos hakol la'atzil zulosay. Let's say I know somebody who's going through something difficult, and I decide that I'm going to daven for them. And I'm going to daven for them, I'm going to start thinking about their situation. And now that I start thinking about their situation, I start going through a lot of torment because I realize the suffering they must be experiencing. When I go through that suffering, what have I essentially done? I've introduced myself into their periphery. I've introduced myself as to being one of the people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu now needs to take into account when he deals with that person. And maybe because of what I deserve, I don't deserve that suffering because I care enough about that person. My empathy has introduced me into their closer sphere. So that when I daven for somebody else, it's not just because I'm davening for them. It's because I care enough about them that now their din is interdependent with me. That's how it works. What a remarkable insight into understanding. He's talking about the Yom Kippur War. He's talking about the Yeshiva Bochrim and the Mir Yeshiva davening for the soldiers or going up to the Syrian fronts and the tanks and being shot down by the Iraqi tank columns. That's what he's talking about. Understand the power of this. If we can care enough, we matter enough in their lives. If we matter enough in their lives, their din changes because of us. That's how far it goes. So when coming into Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, are we able to stretch ourselves just that extra amount? Can we write down names of people in our lives who may not be necessarily in the front of our lives and care enough about them to cry out for them? Because if we really do, if we can stretch ourselves that far, it changes their din. And if we can do that for others and others can do that for us, it'll change our din as well. So these are perhaps four different perspectives over here when it comes to Yom Kippur, when it comes to the interdependentness. Number one, as you saw, the fact that we are much safer when we are talking in we language than I language. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Number two, we talked about the notion of shared responsibility. That if a person is sinning in our midst or is having difficulty in our midst and we don't do anything, we cannot possibly come in fully. Vilna Gaon talks about, quoting the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, that we're like angels, and finally the most powerful idea is Rav Chaim Shmulevitz over here when thinking about other people. And I want to close with the last thought, and that is that we say Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah, we say V'chein, 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 and so, and so, and so, and so. That's how we introduce our brachas. Turns out that Avudraham says it's actually quoting from Megillas Esther, uvachein ovo al melech hashelo kadas, that she says, and so I will come in front of the king. Wait a second. Okay, it happens to be the same word, you know, control F, right? Word search Tanakh, uvachein, look at that. That's not how it works, says the Rav Avraham. The reason is very simple. As you look at the beginning of the pasuk, what happens? Esther and Mordechai in a little bit of a difficult time. She doesn't want to go in front of the king. Why? Because she'll have her head chopped off, right? Because if she hasn't got permission, she'll get killed. He wants her to go to the king because if she doesn't go to the king, they'll be annihilated, right? So everybody's in a tough position. So what does she say? She says the following: Let Knesset call Yehudim. Go get all the Jews together. But sumo alive, I'll toichul v'atishtu shloishes yom yilayla v'yom. You should fast for me for 3 days. Why are they fasting? On her behalf, that she survives. And me, my ladies in waiting, will also fast such. Who is she fasting for? Them. And that's how I'm going to come in front of the king. Yom Kippur. How are we going to come in front of the king? Is when we find somebody else that we care enough for, that matters enough like us. Like Esther was praying for them and they were praying for her. They say that there's a story about Shlomo Zalman that in Shaarei Chesed there was once a fellow who was looking over the balcony. He was on a Shabbos afternoon, sipping his coffee, learning a sefer, and he hears that there's somebody running along the street carrying a child, and the child's screaming. He looks over, he kind of smiles, sipping over his coffee. He says, what a commotion. He looks over the balcony and there's this person running along. The child must have, you know, cut something, bumped something, running off to the doctor. And as the person runs off, he turns to them and he sees, it's his child. So he jumps right over the balcony. He starts running off to the person. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman says, wouldn't it be amazing if that every child that we heard crying, we realize it really is our child? That's how we come into our friend of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Are we willing to see that the other people's children really are our children? That's the only way in. Mezah Shemesh should be a Gemah B'chassim HaTzorah.